I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 10 of this portion of God's Word. And we're going to focus particularly on verses 6 and 7 of Colossians 2 this day. Colossians 2, verses 1 through 10. It's in the midst of those somewhat smaller letters that Paul wrote. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then you have Colossians. We read the first 10 verses, and then we'll focus on verses 6 and 7. And here's what God's Word says to us there. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in the body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. And again, to focus this day on verses 6 and 7, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live or continue to walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. We thank the Lord for His Word. We want to do that in prayer also and ask God would bless us with His Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we have been given the privilege in response to Your Word to give of our gifts in music and song, instrument. We're certainly grateful for those opportunities that have been given to us so far and the singing that we could do. We're grateful also, Father, for musicians who are able to help us this day. We're grateful for their talents and their willingness and their giftedness. And now, Father, as we receive Your Word, we are so thankful that we could read it publicly. We live in a land where we can do that. And that is reason for thanksgiving. We pray that having heard from the Scripture and as we're about to have it ministered to us also, that we would respond as even the Apostle Paul has called us to do in an overflow of thanksgiving unto You. May Your Spirit work this truth to our hearts and to that end for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation of Jesus Christ, as you well know, our society and our government in particular considers it wise and has for a number of years to set a day aside, a day of thanks, as a holiday. Holidays are rather interesting days and events to analyze. We welcome them for the most part, especially when we might be able to get a breather from the daily grind and the day-to-day labors that we face. They give us opportunity to gather with family and friends in ways that are not always easy to do. And I know this day, and that's another thing for which to give thanks when we think about college students and other family and friends that were able to come here safely today and spend time in worship and spend time with family for a little while. These are days that can be used, though, too, in ways that that don't have much to do with the holiday at all. It's just a holiday for many. It can be just that way for us when it comes to holidays sometimes. Not so much for us to remember presidents or veterans or national independence or the birth of a savior or even the giving of thanks. They can be just free days that remove us or remove people from the grind. Thanksgiving is a holiday, as many of us also know, is the most celebrated holiday in the world. Not just in our country, but throughout the world around us. Other societies don't necessarily celebrate Thanksgiving on the same day that we do here in the United States. For instance, our Canadian brothers and sisters here in the congregation have the second Monday in October as their day for this, and this might seem a little bit odd to be celebrating Thanksgiving on the fourth Thursday in the month of November. Korea has a three-day festival beginning in August. I think it's called Chuseok. They actually have a yam festival in Nigeria and Ghana, and it is to celebrate the harvest of yams. The United Kingdom has harvest festivals. People throughout the world then seem to see the importance of giving thanks. It would seem on the surface for people to be the natural thing to do. But questions arise about Thanksgiving. Why is it that we should give thanks? To whom? How much? When? How often? There's plenty of people today who are going to be asked, and maybe you're going to be one of them. What are you thankful for? And people will give all kinds of answers to that question. Others are going to find it hard to give an answer because at the time or maybe throughout their lives, they don't see reason for it. Or maybe it's just because they don't really know to whom they should be giving thanks to ultimately. If we, though, have come to know the blessings of belonging to Jesus Christ, the Lord directs us by His grace so that we can answer questions like why, to whom, how often, when, and how much shall we give thanks? As Christians, we come to understand that Thanksgiving isn't just one day. It's a life. Just like praising God can't be restricted to the Lord's day. We can be thankful to know why we need to be thankful, to whom, when, how often, and how much. And our passage this morning helps us with that. It grants to us a great deal of insight into those things. We find a calling, a remarkable calling, to remarkable living when it comes to Thanksgiving. We're to abound in it. It wouldn't be the only place where we run across such a remarkable calling. We hear in 1 Thessalonians, after all, chapter 5, that in all circumstances we are to be thankful, for this is God's will for us in Christ. We read earlier about Philippians 4, the call to rejoice in the Lord, not from whenever it is that we feel like it, but always, and to bring our prayers then accordingly with thanks. Here, though, the calling isn't just a matter of how often, but how much. We're called to abound with thanksgiving. We are to overflow with thankfulness. How do we do that? Well, our passage says, well, we need to be rooted in Christ and we need to walk in Christ. And that's what we're looking at this morning for a moment on this Thanksgiving morning. We see, first of all, that there is this calling to be overflowing with thankfulness, and it can only happen when we're rooted in Christ. Abounding thankfulness or overflowing thanksgiving can seem like a tall order to us sometimes, especially when the circumstances of life point in the opposite direction. But what we have to remember always is that though the circumstance might change, the grace of God in Jesus Christ does not. The gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't change. The wisdom that's hidden in Christ, that's found in Christ, promotes that kind of thanksgiving. When it comes to rejoicing in the Lord, some would say that you can't always do that. And similarly with thanks, you can't overflow constantly. But the joy of the Lord is our strength can remain despite the circumstance, because the circumstance is directed by our Lord. My comfort that way, my joy, is that none of these circumstances will separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And that's why there may always be joy in the Lord, and why there may also then be thanksgiving in the Lord, indeed an overflowing thanks. From where Paul is standing, the reason for overflowing thanksgiving is based not, first of all, in the difficult moment. It's based on what the believers in Colossae have accepted. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, overflow with thanksgiving. They accepted Christ as Lord. They've been connected to the vine. They've been rooted, we read. They've been established. They've been founded on the bedrock of Christ Jesus. The apostle illustrates that establishment by speaking of both a natural foundation, the root on which we are able to live, and what we might call the non-natural foundation of the building as we are established and we are built. Christ is the basis for overflowing thanks, whether we look at ourselves as a plant of faith or as a building of faith. You see, the apostle who has great concern for the church in Colossae, who he says at the beginning of our passage is struggling for them, who says, yeah, I'm apart from you, but I am near in spirit. He lays the ground that is the basis for thanksgiving, more than that, abundant thanksgiving. And he didn't lay it with riches, and he didn't lay it with pleasure. He didn't lay it with fame. He didn't lay it with trouble-free living, because that would have been wrong. Because if he did that, then where would be the reason for a life of abundant thanksgiving? Because life just isn't like that for us day in and day out. You might gain. You might have pleasure. You might be popular. And you may have things that go right, and you say, isn't that nice for once? But you know that's not always the case. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be giving thanks to the Lord today when things have gone well, and when you have received enough for the day, and when you've been kept from trouble, or when you have known the love of others. Perish the thought, because if you can't give thanks in those occasions, then you have a spiritual problem that's even seriouser or more serious indeed than what some may have. But the foundation for abundant thanksgiving, what roots us in abundant thanksgiving, overflowing thanksgiving, is the gospel teachings about Jesus Christ. It's about God's grace. It's about the source of our wisdom and an understanding that's found in Jesus Christ. It's the light for the path that's been given through the Savior and Lord. And that, you see, is why the apostle struggles and he wrestles. And why he is so concerned for this church that he can't be at. And so he has to write a letter to them. Because there were false teachers that were attacking with fine-sounding arguments and deceptive philosophies and hollow philosophies which were dependent on human tradition and not on Christ. They were trying to empty people of the teaching of Jesus Christ, of His wisdom, of His gospel, of His grace, of His mercy, of His peace, of His direction, and in the process, they were emptying people or wanting to empty people of thanks. Paul wanted to keep these people from that error. He wanted to keep them from that emptiness. He wanted them to see that full living, that true living, is to please their Savior with thanks, abundant thanks. And that kind of thanksgiving doesn't start with things that are out there that you're hoping to get. It starts in here. He mentions that he wants these people encouraged in heart. Paul wants these people's hearts fortified. He wants to strengthen the church with the truths about Christ's word, with his gospel, so it would knit them together in love. Paul knows that if people are sent off in the wrong direction, in the direction of falsehood, then there is nothing but emptiness and vanity there. It's hollow. It's only in Christ Jesus that you can find your sufficiency. And it's more than that. It's fullness. Only in Christ is there reason for abundant thanks. Because everything else is empty in comparison. And that kind of emptiness simply can't provide reason for overflowing thanks. Teachers in Colossae were sapping thanksgiving out of people's lives. They were trying to suck them dry. Anything physical was considered taboo. We could read later on and it says, don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. Things that God created that could be used if received with thanks were rejected. They were promoting an ascetic life, which God never taught. And it was why the apostle had to say to these people in chapter 3, we'll read that later on in our service, whatever you do in word and in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And it's why he could say elsewhere, for everything God created is good, and nothing's to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving. But of course, the false teacher's spiritual life and teaching were devoid of grace, and that saps thanksgiving out of a person most of all. If we don't have a true belief that God is gracious in Jesus Christ, then we can never truly live an abundantly overflowing thankful life. We won't be abundantly thankful to the one who deserves that abundant thanksgiving, the abundantly gracious God. And if you think about it, nobody deserves abundant thanksgiving like the abundantly gracious God in Christ. It's in Christ where we hear that all the treasures of wisdom and understanding are stored. And when we turn elsewhere for that, when we turn elsewhere for that help, when we turn elsewhere looking for aid, abundant thanksgiving simply isn't going to be evidenced in our lives. It's just the way it is. The Apostle Paul, in trying times and testing times and wrestling times, doesn't want us to be disillusioned. In order for our lives to be marked by an abundance of thanksgiving, then the only way it's going to happen is when we're rooted and established in Christ. We need to be fortified in heart. Together we can grow stronger together in love that way. And in the process, what we can do then is also ward off the attitude of a world that sees no reason for thanks, much less abundant thanks. But it's indeed one thing to know why you need to be thankful and how much. And it's another thing to walk in it. And that's what our passage speaks about too when it says that we are to continue to live in Christ Jesus. Or particularly, or more specifically, we are to walk in it. You need to be rooted in the teachings of Christ, but then you have to walk in Christ with abundant thanksgiving. Now, how do you do that? Well, abundant thanksgiving is that which receives all that the Lord provides and uses it to the glory of God, even when one eats and when one drinks. Abundant thanksgiving, as our passage implies, is a life. It's not a day. It's a journey. It's a walk. It's not a destination. Our passage calls us to walk in Christ. abundant thanksgiving looks at every new day in which you rise up as a day that's worthy of all our heart, mind, soul, and strength because of the abundant grace of God in Jesus Christ. Nobody else deserves that kind of thanksgiving in your life. Nobody else deserves that kind of thanksgiving as you get up in the morning. We can thank people for services that they've done for us. We can thank them for the leadership they gave us. We can thank them for their generosity. We can thank them for their sacrifice. But nobody has given like the God who didn't spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all while we were yet sinners. No one has given like the Son who, while we were sinners, died for us. No one has given like the Holy Spirit who gave life to our dead hearts. Nobody has given like the God who used these other people and these other circumstances in your life by His providence and power. Nobody deserves more thanks. Nobody deserves such an overflowing thanks like the one who has promised to graciously give you all things along with the Son whom He didn't spare. See, abundant thanks is that blossom. It's the fruit on the tree of faith. It's that ornament on that building of faith. It's a command to the faithful, but it's the hallmark of the faithful saved by grace. And it's not just a begrudging thanks. It's not just a courteous thanks. It's not just that, well, it's a thanks I have to do because that's what we normally do. It's not just a ceremonial thanks, but it's an overflowing thanks. It's like water that overflows its banks. It's like a faucet that's turned to its full. A thanksgiving that nobody can plug, nobody can stop, nobody can block. There's just too much about God and His Christ and His Spirit and His grace from whom all blessings flow to keep us from overflowing thanks in return when we think about it. I mean, if I go home and I were to go to the upstairs room of our house that has a tub, and if I let that go, and I let that water go, and let it flow, and don't turn it off, there's no place where that water isn't going to flow. Upstairs, every room, main floor, basement. It's not on building and grounds, so you don't have to worry. If I keep it on, though, it'll overflow the windows. It'll flow everywhere. And it's that kind of flow of thanks the Lord deserves from us. Every area flowing over. Prayer and obedience, praise and practice, every aspect, every ounce of our being, every aspect of our lives. And I know we're fragile, and I know we get discouraged. We're creatures, we're sinful, we grow weary. And again, we think when we hear things like this, we say, yeah, that's nice. That's quite a tall order, though. And maybe it's a bit overboard. Because I'm hurting and I'm overwhelmed already. And I'm lonely and I'm struggling and I'm sorrowing. And I'm a sinner. And times are tough. But your God is in the midst of it all. He's your joy. He's your Redeemer. He's your strength. He's your balm. And He'll go with you through those things. And He won't leave you or forsake you when you're in Christ. Even in the midst of everything that you're facing right now, even when it feels like right now is not the greatest time to be giving thanks. He's your wisdom. He's your provision. He's your comfort and your joy. And He's the reason. He's the reason for overflowing thanks. Even when the tears fall. And even when the pain is real. Who has more reason than to be thankful? Yes. to overflow with thanks than a person who has come to know the grace of Jesus Christ. If anybody has reason to be thankful that way today, it is those of you here today who by faith have come to know the abundant grace of God through Jesus Christ. The apostle says to you and me, abound in thanks, overflow with thanks, beloved of the Lord. It's your calling. It's your life. It is the best way to live. And you have every reason to do it. When you've come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord, you've got every reason to do it. When you're part of the beloved of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray together a moment. We come to you again, Heavenly Father, grateful for the calling. And realizing when we look to your word and when we're blessed by your spirit that it is not out of bounds for the apostle to call us to overflow with thanks in our lives. Not first of all because of what we're enduring, but first of all because of what Christ has endured for us. Not first of all, Father, because we can say, there's no tears in our lives, or there are no struggles to face, but because of the one whom we know will wipe our tears and who will sustain us through the struggle. Lord, not first of all because of our perfections, but because of the perfection of Jesus Christ, who has been our righteousness. And who has taken our lives and transformed them from darkness to light. As we take up our tasks daily, as we take up our praise, as we take up our prayers, as we seek to do what you call us to do each day, O Heavenly Father, more and more, may people see in our lives and may we live before you as those who believe that the thanksgiving that we are to show is to abound because we've known and will continue to know the abundant grace of our God from whom all blessings flow. Accept our prayers to this end, we do pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.